Don't envy me. I was in Arizona. It was colder there than it was here. Imagine that. I've been bumping up against a concept about the gospel and the gospel being a whole gospel rather than just a message that gets people born again spiritually, but a message that transforms, yes, the individual, and yes, their circumstances, and yes, their communities as well. And I've kind of been bumping up against this concept for the last 4 or 5 years, and as I look to, you know, initiate work in the nation of Chad, I found out about this conference, which is called Global. It was the Global Che Network. Che is Community Health Evangelism, or in the Muslim context, they don't say evangelism, they'll say education, but it's disciple-making and evangelism. And they're the first annual conference of a number of people that have pioneered this kind of whole gospel approach, meaning the combination of an undergirding of prayer, moving into communities, both here in the United States and abroad, in every continent, and combining what we would call mercy ministry or justice or community development, or in a variety of ways, whether it be water for purification or sanitation or food or sustainable agriculture or microfinance. It's the combination of discipleship with very practical, meeting very practical needs according to whatever that community identifies as its main needs. And what I was impressed about was that these people believe, as we do, that the church is the vehicle through which God wants to bring transformation not only to people's individual lives but to their communities. The church is the primary vehicle through which God wants to bring transformation to whole communities, not just individuals within that community. And so I kind of put up a little bit of a definition about what community health evangelism is, but it seamlessly integrates evangelism and discipleship with disease, and this is just kind of health focused, this little definition, but it's way more than disease prevention. But it's community-based development as well. And we'll unpack this more and more as it relates to our context here in El Dorado. So the thing that kind of blindsided me, I suppose, is that I went there to learn, because I was ignorant about this, to learn how to apply this in a developing world setting, and namely the nation of Chad. And I did learn many things and was with a missionary that will be launching to Chad actually very soon. And so we will do this for sure there. But the thing that struck me is that I got blindsided by the Lord, kind of the Lord confronting me in a sense, saying, what about your community? And I began to wrestle with this. What would this mean in El Dorado? If, just think with me for a moment, if there were 500 born-again believers in El Dorado, or there could be 1,000 born-again believers in El Dorado, if the church was mobilized in a way that was extremely practical, that looked like the church reaching our immediate neighbors in our neighborhoods in the power of the Holy Spirit, driven by prayer, God the Holy Spirit giving wisdom, God the Holy Spirit giving healing to people's lives, God the Holy Spirit giving practical wisdom and husbands loving their wives, children obeying their parents, people who have substance problems, them being delivered of their substance problems. What would it be like? What would it be like if the whole body of Christ took the whole gospel to the whole community and not just talk about it, but we actually were mobilized to do it? And we have talked about that, and we've prayed about that, and I believe that the answer to our prayers is sure. God does not desire that anyone perish. Is that right? 2 Peter 3. He doesn't desire that anyone perish, but all come to repentance. And for those theologians in the room who understand the sovereignty of God and how that interplays with the will, come explain that to me later. But for now, God desires that all, that no one perishes and that all come to repentance in El Dorado. So I was awake much of the night, last night, just praying about what that would mean for us. And I hope I can get through this. The Lord began to ask me some questions. First question was, which of your neighbors, and you guys ask yourself this question, because you all are planted somewhere in and around this town, maybe Wichita. But he asked me this question, which of your neighbors are you willing to concede to the enemy and ultimately to hell? And he said, there you will find the limit of your compassion, but my compassion is limitless. You must pray that your hearts will be broken with compassion for your neighbors. And as we consider who the body of Christ is, people who have benefited from the cross of Christ, from the forgiveness and the washing of Jesus' blood, and have benefited by experiencing the resurrection power of Christ, to what degree do I want to extend that in 10, 15, 20 different practical ways? There are many ways the Holy Spirit will show us how to love and serve people, and in that, to bring them to Jesus Christ. Sandy Bell knows these things well. But it's time for the whole body of Christ to be mobilized. Many of you have been laboring and serving, and I honor you for that. You're so far further than where I've been personally. The second question the Lord asked me is, which problems in people do you feel, Tim, are impossible for me to change? And the thing that came to mind is the thing I see so much as a physician, which is drug addiction. That's one thing. There are many. And the Lord began to go at my unbelief about that he can transform, that we don't have the skills necessary to love and to pray and to get the help that's needed to be free. But the Lord assured me, oh no, there's freedom. There's freedom in Christ. I don't desire anybody perish, but all come to repentance. He has grace for this. Miracles of salvation, deliverance, and healing. And then he asked me one more question. To what extent Are you, the body of Christ, unwilling to step into your neighbor's pain and mess? And that really challenged me. To what extent are you, the body of Christ, unwilling to step into your neighbor's pain and mess? And he said to me, this is the extent to which you don't know my suffering, the fellowship of my suffering, and there's actually joy in participating in my suffering with others. And that seems so countercultural, but there's a joy as we step into pain with other people. This all looks like something. Those are questions that I'm going to wrestle with in prayer. I believe that we are, before every great war, there is a need for mobilization. No? And God, in his wisdom, has begun a mobilization of the body of Christ, which you heard it briefly in Dave Gilbert's testimony. That's part of a mobilization of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the body of Christ. That's one of many things, and it's a great thing. But we are in a period of mobilization right now. And the Lord has summoned the Air Force, or what we would call the prayer force, as the first work of this mobilization among us. But there are ground troops, and we all are part of the ground troop effort. It will take all of our giftings, the whole body of Christ in El Dorado, and there will be an engagement of the whole body of Christ in the city. And we've touched it at times, we've met, we've gathered, we've served together. Beloved, there is a more concerted, unified mobilization, unity, sharing of the load, laboring together, coming for the whole body of Christ in this town, in the towns that we serve, in Wichita, in the towns which you live. That is a prerogative of God's Holy Spirit at this time. We are in a moment right now. And if we will allow him to show us, for instance, in those questions that I asked and that I was asked, to show us where are we bound up, where are we immobilized, where are we afraid, where do we not care, if we will allow him to grant us grace for repentance, because all community transformation everywhere, this is universal, this is a universal truism, every place that has ever been transformed, the first thing that happens among that community is repentance. And repentance from a number of things. Apathy, fear, and there are many, many things. But would you, if this resonates at all with you, would you take to prayer what it would mean for the whole gospel to go through the whole body of Christ to the whole community where you live? Will you ask him for that?